Blog Talk Radio.
My song, I
Well, my brothers and sisters, yes, indeed. We're back again. Yes, we're back again, my brothers and sisters, for another episode. Yes, indeed, for another episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Enemia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Indeed, so very thankful, utmost thankful to the Most High for the opportunity. Yes, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. Speak these very precious words. Yes, these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me, that I have for Him some very, very important things for Him to do. And He told me because of what I must do, He told me, that I would accrue surely some very powerful friends. Yes, indeed, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He's asked of me, I would have His protection and His guidance. He told my brothers and sisters, yes, indeed. Sound like some very provocative things have to be dealt with here. For He told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed. That I must tell you things that men, yes, that men have done everything they could to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. Yes, if they could, even to destroy since the dawn of human fall. I can only say to my brothers and sisters that in spite of it all, that this world might at last see the truth, I'm thankful to the Most High. Yes, indeed. Very thankful to Him to be offered the opportunity and the insight to begin to explore. I said to begin to explore many concepts of the scripture, many concepts of what indeed is the faith that many have not. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, that many have not, that must be dealt with, must be explored. For I consider such scriptures as Isaiah 40 through 41 very, very critical words, very, very critical, my brothers and sisters, passages of the scripture that must be dealt with to the fullness of their initial divine intent. If humanity is ever going to ever again be made wholly true unto the will, the perfect will of one. And my brothers and sisters, that the world must see beyond its multitude of illusions, discern the will of one, even the will of the one and only Savior. That, my brothers and sisters, that eventuality is a promise. But how many of my brothers and sisters among us are ready to deal entirely with that reality? In order to deal with it, my brothers and sisters, there's some questions. I said some very important questions that need to be asked. A lot of people consider them very provocative questions that most have not even been willing to ask them. And even if asked, my brothers and sisters, most are not willing to seek or accept the answer. I can only tell you that there's been a lot of ruling entities, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, hey, leaders of all kinds, social, political, and religious, that I've had oftentimes opportunities to speak to directly, many face to face, that would propose with questions like the kind we're going to talk about tonight. They oftentimes, rather than answer the question, will say and simply say things like, with regard to what is the answer, knowing what the answer is, they will say things to me like, don't take things or don't take that away from us, Ed. In other words, get my point. There's an illusion that they uphold, a mess of illusions that they uphold, that if granted the opportunity, they will continue to preserve. Claiming, causing people to think that they are ministers of the Most High. But so many of my brothers and sisters know exactly what they are. I need to explain that I know. Like I've had pastors point blank tell me, straight out, things like, it's not, they said, about what, they use the word Jesus, not really his name, but they said, one pastor in particular made it real plain, I've had some others tell us the same, don't you know, for us, it's not about what Jesus said, they said. He said, we are learning a profession. It is written, my brothers and sisters, that the day must come that all the false swearers, want to know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about in Malachi 3. All the false swearers must be exposed in their unrighteousness. What is a false swearer, my brothers and sisters? Messiah explained it well when he spoke about those who, he said, would not search the scriptures to truly understand the truth, and certainly not to fully understand the truth of who he is. And he said to them in this wise, I know you well, that the love of Yah is not in you. For if man has a true love of Yah, he also has a love of the truth, my brothers and sisters. I said, all the truth, all that awakens the mind, even to all that is the initial foundation, the Most High has declared, without which none stands upon what is stable. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's time to understand what Messiah meant in Matthew 7th chapter. Speaking about man's going to find out in the last days that they should have done a far better job of watching out for false prophets. Men who prophesy falsely. Men who claim to have a foundation and have none. He said, really, the word really would have been better understood if it had been translated. He who has these words of mine and understands them is a wise man. He said, watch out for false prophets, meaning those who teach a partial or polluted testimony, cause men to draw hasty conclusions. I think it's time to understand the real, my brothers and sisters. Philippians 2 is one place, and even the gospel itself declares that it's a multitude of partial and imperfect standards that keep the people from being able to perfectly agree. And on last evening, we examined with a much greater depth the idea that many times when the scripture says, for such reasons, like I said, think about John 3:16. It said, those who believe in him, he gave them power to become sons of Yah. First chapter of John, scripture says, Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Far better, my brothers and sisters, those words would have been translated, Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. How about the one who had the message when all else had fallen short? His only begotten Son, that whoever believes to agree with him shall not perish. Did you hear me? Whoever believes in him to agree with him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I think about scriptures, my brothers and sisters, like those at Zechariah and Zephaniah, 9th chapter, Zechariah, 3rd chapter, Zephaniah. Scripture saying things like Most High has ascended as Messiah, that he restored to the people a pure speech, that they all call upon his name with one consent. How about the scriptures also saying that he must speak peace to the nations? What about Zephaniah 3:13? It said the remnant of Israel will speak no lies and do no iniquity. The 144,000 who were redeemed from the world, he said, will speak no guile. No guile found in their mouths. What else does this mean, my brothers and sisters? That they have no allegiance, nor any oath or vow to a multitude of partial, perverse, polluted standards that have created the multitude of diverse allegiances that we see in this world. There is, someone who oftentimes tries to come up in the chat room here on this show. And he keeps talking about the blessing upon the Gentiles, as if the Gentile nations have been called to supplant Israel with regard to a promise that the Most High has made to Israel as an irrevocable promise from the beginning. Well, think about it. In the book of Galatians, it says the promise is not to seeds as of many. In other words, not after a multitude of different patriarchies, a multitude of different nations. The promise, my brothers and sisters, is unto one pure, perfect, consummate truth. I said one pure, perfect, and consummate truth. Purity and completion offers one choice, but a multitude of perversions and pollutions, a multitude of partialities, can only be a multitude of curses, and certainly cannot be true to the will of one who does not change, nor will he be destabilized by the idolatries, the presumptuousness, the false imaginations of man. One scripture says, can two walk together lest they be agreed? For those who will understand Amos 3 well, what it really means is this, that the Most High has chosen Israel and made himself known to Israel of all the nations of the earth, and that surely for that reason, that the world be redeemed, he must, reprove. He must refine. He must correct Israel of all her sins. Meaning that Israel must be purified of all the misconceits of the nations. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, are the nations blessed after a multitude of different kings, a multitude of different rulers, a multitude of different denominations? So many partial perspectives, and so many tainted, juxtaposed ideas. Are these true to the will of one? Come on, my brothers and sisters. We need to ask ourselves, for what reason do we believe? Yes, for what reason do we believe? Do we really believe in him? If we can believe and agree with in some way, even sometimes agreeing to disagree, but still upholding as if they are believers, a multitude of my brothers and sisters who believe different ideologies after the short-sighted teaching of a multitude of different political, social, and pseudo-religious rulers who can't themselves agree. How can we say that we believe in the one who does not change if many can trust just because somebody calls themselves a pastor
a priest, a rabbi, an elder,
whatever.
Can we really believe because somebody puts upon themselves such a title, that those titles have been true to the Most High, even called by Him? Can they really believe in Him?
What I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures talked about, in fact, they warn against the false swearer. That scripture you'll find in Malachi. And the false swearer, my brothers and sisters, is one who makes an oath in vain. The truth of the matter, they actually have no love for Yah. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? They have no real love for Yah. So busy are these seeking to uphold their own ideas that the truth is something they despise. What is a false swearer, my brothers and sisters? He says he's going to be a swift witness against the false swearers. A swift witness then against those who say that after a multitude of diverse ideals, evil, deviant ideals, he's going to be a swift witness against those who say that all these differences are good in the sight of the Most High and that he delights in such. He has restored man to righteousness as of old, as in former years, it says in Malachi. And that would be the will of one, my brothers and sisters. That there be no curses, no divisions, no damnation, no dissuasion, no deception among those who call themselves Israel. We have to ask ourselves a question. If we believe a multitude of contradictions, have we believed anything at all? Did you hear me? If we believe a multitude of contradictions are true, or even to be compromised with, or accepted, have we believed anything at all? The Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wasn't talking about just keeping his commandments. He was talking about the preserving of his faith. He said, the spirit of truth, the world will not receive. How about the true fullness of what is the faith? The world will not just not receive and not be willing to accept, and will not accept with a welcome with a love. But my brothers and sisters, the spirit of truth, the full, pure, perfect testimony of truth, the world they seek to destroy, to exalt, and preserve themselves. What is it about a false swearer? No love for Yah, my brothers and sisters. False swearer could also be somebody who has sworn to the name of the Most High, but has trusted after the will of another. Or oftentimes, I know I can just tell you about somebody I know. Hey, DC, you know who I'm talking about. If you're listening. Who, when I told him about such things as the symbol of the cross, for instance, was pagan. If you talk about using it as a symbol for the faith. And his response to me was, even though I could show him that it was so, yes, that symbol comes from ancient, does not come from anything having to do with the faith. It has to do with it. Origins believed by the Babylonian priesthood who worshiped a pagan god called Tammuz, symbol of the T. Able to relate all these things, but he told me, for his business, it works for him. Is that an oath unto the Most High, my brothers and sisters, or is that an oath to overcome the lie, or is it to preserve it? Is that respect and reverence for Yah, or total disrespect and even hatred against a reference point? What I would have you to know, my brothers and sisters, is that there are many who claim to love Yah, claim to love his Messiah, but hate his guts. And I tell you why. Because if the absolute truth of him were known, then everything they have spoken upon, all their faulty foundations, would be completely exposed as not the worship of Yah, not the worship of the Holy One of Israel, not an expectation even of who the Messiah said he is and what he comes to do. But if the truth were known, it would expose them completely as the servants of an adversary, the children of darkness, having no love for the light and preferring, my brothers and sisters, that all remain forever enslaved in cage in the prison houses of darkness. I know that sounds hard, my brothers and sisters, but the truth is what it is. I can't tell you how many times, like I said before, that I've spoken to pastors when I began to open up or relate to them certain very provocative questions. Like I said, the scripture talks about the time of our warfare having to come to an end. And it only comes to end when again, at last, man shall see eye to eye the glory, the invariant word of the Most High, that transcends all those who preserve the warfare, the confusion, the contentions. And Lord have mercy. Few are there willing to admit that when righteousness is revealed, it won't be a matter about nations and kingdoms sitting back and saying they vote for what they call righteousness. Because the scriptures actually relate that the righteous one before the judge, whole nations be counted as a drop in a bucket, meaning absolutely nothing. In fact, he has reproved all the nations. Isaiah 41st chapter parallels quite well Isaiah 34. How about Revelation 19th chapter, where it says he called himself the Word of Yah, that word like a sharp two-edged sword that discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word, my brothers and sisters, like a sharp two-edged sword, like a rod of iron, a discipline like a rod of iron that does not flinch, with which he shall smite all the nations. Yes, the scriptures even say in Isaiah 19, he shall smite the nations and then heal them, that they might vow a vow to the Most High, and finally knowing exactly who he is, though they function like Egyptians, though they swore by his name, though they function like Canaanites and Egyptians, though they swore by his name, he said that finally they shall know him. Yes, my brothers and sisters, they shall know him, and many shall convert, and they shall vow a vow to the Most High and shall perform it. Sounds kind of foolish, my brothers and sisters, that men say that because they believe, they have no example to present. I do hope that's what they're basically saying when they say there's no common law, that is, our common conscience, our common word of truth, pure and perfect, that has to be preserved. Really, most have been deceived not to realize that they've been tricked by this system unto the shutting down of the light and not the exhibition or the revealing of it. If there's none that relates the invariant word, my brothers and sisters, they may have been the children of darkness. Messiah is prophesied to tell the world, bind all the testimony, seal all the law. Don't call a covenant what these people call a covenant. See all the word together for its consummate meaning. If men are not willing to uphold that perfect reckoning of his word that considers all things, he said there's no light in them. And scripture says, whoever it is among you who has no light, let him trust in him who is called by the name of the Most High. Oh, you need to read Isaiah 49 through 50 to understand that. To be saved, to be made whole, to be healed. How about to transcend all the lies, my brothers and sisters? That you be saved from those who would deceive you after a multitude of counterfeits. That you be delivered by his Most High. To about Isaiah 50:10 through 11. It's time we understand, my brothers and sisters, that it's the exceeding word, the fullness of a word, my brothers and sisters, that expose all the pretense. So our Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations everything. Hey, leaving people upon a faulty foundation, not realizing the sin that they commit, or the misconceits that they trust, the counterfeits and the false deity, or the misrepresentations against the Most High they uphold, not realizing where they exist, and cause people to maintain such corruption so as to blind them as to never understand what the word is the Most High declared from the beginning. I pray that many of you will contemplate deeply what I'm speaking about tonight. And some of you who hear tonight in the chat, not hearing tonight live, And those of you here in the archives, you would do yourselves well and those you love well. To broadcast, let it be known concerning the things we see, we say, that we all might see tonight. Because a lot of questions we're going to ask, my brothers and sisters, are going to have to do with whether men have truly believed in him as an unchanging, steadfast, everlasting entity that does not lie. The questions we're going to talk about tonight have to do with whether or not, my brothers and sisters, whether men believe in him as an absolute entity, whether they respect him at all, whether they men have truly accepted and preserved a reference point by which he might be revered, or has the Most High just become, for some people, a claim that they might appear themselves righteous in the midst of a convoluted world that has so little discretion. A lot of people are willing to put upon themselves titles. But do those titles mean, my brothers and sisters, they've been called by the Most High? Or have they put them, just simply put a title upon themselves to make themselves idols, to mislead many? After idolatrous standards, yes, I said idolatrous and presumptuous, hasty standards, that by no means have the power to deliver or fully save unto Yah anyone. Again, Zephaniah 3:13 says, the remnant of Israel will speak no lies, do no iniquity. The elect 144,000 who will shine forth a light to redeem the world, that will have the name of the Father upon their brows. In other words, the Most High will sign the covenant that is in their minds. The mutual covenant put upon their minds and heart after being redeemed from the midst of all nations. All you need to really examine closely Jeremiah 30 through 31. Those who have the name of the Father upon their brows are they who have been purged of all the misconceits of the nations, that they might follow the will of the One. For the first command concerning the Most High is, you have no other God before him, not in nation, not in political, social, or pseudo-religious institution of any kind. And no one, my brothers and sisters, will attain to that salvation but those whom the Most High himself has drawn near. And what I mean by that, my brothers and sisters, I mean those who he has drawn near and those who have been faithful to his guidance. Because you need all the pure, perfect word upon all this foundation to accomplish this. And whoever has not sought that pure and perfect word, that is the gospel of the kingdom, the whole word, the pure word of the kingdom, has fallen after someone else's authority, not awakened fully to the sovereignty of Yah, not really even heard the gospel. And many of my brothers and sisters who claim to have heard it have no concept of what the foundation of the faith always was thousands of years before the birth of Messiah. But most have no concept of what was always the expectation since the fall, as declared by all the prophets. Bold statement, keep listening. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Do all 45,000 denominations believe in him who is one? Or have they believed in some others? How about a multitude of others? How about a multitude of others who are kept blind by one who hides the truth from men? It is written, my brothers and sisters, that the deceiver seeks to, in fact, the scripture says the deceiver, the adversary, Satan, the devil, goes forth to deceive the whole world. The scripture says the Messiah must come to finally cast aside the veil and the covering that is over all the nations. meaning that wherever any adversarial authority, supposedly sovereign, supposedly just, has blinded the minds after any form of short-sightedness, pollution, partiality, corruption, misimagination of any kind, he must prove foolish. Everyone is representation that men know how to follow him. 45,000 denominations, many times not even agreeing with themselves, cannot possibly be true. And cannot possibly be true faith in one. The Most High is one. The first command we must uphold, meaning he is not divided by our imagination. And we choose to compromise to accept otherwise. Well, my brothers and sisters, we defy the very first command. And left ourselves wide open to be exploited. Most High told me early on, one of the first things he told me. Told me if I could look upon the world and see all the differences that men have held and called them faith. He said, if I could believe that was in any way to him or manifestation of his spirit, he teaches all things, holding it, reproving all sins. How about reproving all that divides his people and causes them to be stagnant and pleased amongst the multitude of divisions? He said, if I could believe anything like that was a manifestation of his spirit, all these people, like I say, having a multitude of doctrines but believing partialities that don't uphold the whole truth. He told us, I could believe that was a manifestation of his spirit. Had anything to do with his purpose. He said, I could not be a disciple of him. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, who disciple men become as soon as they're willing to compromise the will of the Most High or are not willing to seek the whole pure and perfect truth? Not seeking to uphold the whole pure and perfect truth. There's no one to guard the doors against the liar. And a whole lot of, let's just say, unacceptable offerings. After a lot of negative, damning intrusion, entering the church unawares, we'll have to cause it to be brought to bear, according to the book of Yehuda, they call it Jew. The Messiah will have to convince mankind in the last days that all the things they have had upheld and thought were wise. He will have to convince them that they were ungodliness. And a lot of folks are going to have a hard time accepting a lot of what they trust is ungodliness, meaning they believe the devil with their whole heart. Is this salvation? Absolutely not. Think about it. 45,000 denominations believing in him who is one? Like I said, if we believe a multitude of contradictions, do we believe him who is as he is alone? Besides, if you love me, keep my commandments, which is to say, preserve all that is my faith. Preserve all that I believe that if we uphold, there will be peace. Did you hear me? He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, meaning that he has a set of commands, a way that he reveals. Beyond what seems wise to this world, that will bring peace to it according to what Most High declared from the beginning. Anything outside of that, my brothers and sisters, is not the gospel, but a curse. He said, think not that he come to destroy the law of the prophets. Not come to dishonor, weaken, demerit, dishonor the law of the prophets in any way. He said, if you fall victim to anyone who does, I compel you to believe that. What it means is not only does it mean you should not enter the kingdom of Yah. What it means, my brothers and sisters, you never understand the way of peace. There's only one law that is lawful. The law of the Most High. You won't accept that, you never know the way of truth. There's only one consummate truth, my brothers and sisters, and it is his. Anything compromised aside from this is deviation. And if you mix any misconceit with the truth, it becomes a lie. Truth, my brothers and sisters. Truth does not deny the truth. Light does not deny light, but exposes the darkness. Who then, brothers and sisters, will seek the Most High? Become that light, that no more shall the adversary creep in amidst those who would come to awaken to the faith. It's time to understand, my brothers and sisters. It does make a difference. One scripture speaks of it this way in Revelation. You need to read all what's down there from the second to the third chapter. It's all of this important. But there's a scripture in the midst that says that we're neither cold nor hot, or it doesn't make any difference to us. We never made an oath unto him anyway. He said he will spew us out of his mouth. That's just the way it is. It makes a lot of sense. You don't make an oath to preserve and maintain and defend something you have no desire to defend. And your primary purpose otherwise then is just simply to uphold your own vanities against him. Is that a true oath or a false one? Is that to love them or is it hatred in disguise? I've said many times that what people call agape love is not only lust in disguise. Agape is a love for all the various fleshly confusions, designs, and desires that the reprobate heart might conceive. Has no love for absolute. Has no love for the will of one. It's not the love of Yah. The love of Yah is love for all that he is, everything that he is. Anything less, my brothers and sisters, is hate in disguise. And it's time to understand the difference. Like I said, Messiah spoke to the leaders of his time, saying they would not examine, because they would not examine fully the word that testified of him. He said, I know you well, that the love of Yah is not in you. Oh yes, these words shall be spoken to many again. Much sooner than most even begin to imagine. Matthew 7th chapter said, because of this, many having the words and not seeking the fullness of their initial foundation and understanding, they fall victim to false prophets, setting up faulty foundations, false sense of the eventuality. We said the fall of such institutions that do this will be great. 45,000 denominations out here, my brothers and sisters, with different concepts of eventuality and even the path and how to get there. Having even a faulty concept of what is the prize the Most High has offered to those who believe. Some say it's a redeemed earth. Some say it's up in the sky, believing this rapture doctrine, which is another lie. Is that, can all believe differently, my brothers and sisters, and say it is him that we have loved? Or have been compelled, as the scripture says, to the intrusion of the principles and powers? He would combine Colossians 2nd and 2 Thessalonians 2nd. Men will find out what they believe is the intrusion of the principles and powers, and it's compel men to believe what scripture calls lies, not to recognize the iniquity that is right out in front of them, because what is preserved is all the corruption of this world. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, the way you hide the thing, the wicked have known the way to hide a thing, sometimes right out in the open and give it praise. And someone never consider one time what manner of devil they've come to love. Like I say, can we all believe in him, truly believe in him, be found not to agree? I think about scriptures like Isaiah 40:41. The Psalm 4 said, listen to me, as a righteous one, listen to me. And listen to all that is righteous. That people might be renewed to strength. How about strong enough to to resist all the wiles of the devil by putting upon themselves the whole armor of God? How about strong enough to resist and to overcome all the false rulers, kings? Yes, according to Isaiah 41, all kings of the earth. Isaiah 34, all the nations. Malachi 2nd through 3rd. Yes, even the priests. And of course, my brothers and sisters, if we're going to talk about this, also scriptures like those in Zechariah 13, all the false prophets who have spoken lies and men have not discerned in their lack of knowledge how often they have been misled. The gospel, which is the whole pure, perfect word, is hid. Men are indeed lost and easily beguiled and misled. Scripture tells what the solution is. How many are ready to accept it? Scripture keeps talking about, hey, Deuteronomy 29, a time of remembrance. Acts 3:18 through 23. Isaiah 28, a time of refreshing. All things being brought to remembrance according to all the most spoken in the beginning. How about the very foundation of the faith? You ever stop to consider if all have lost sight of what is the foundation of the faith, then every single soul walking can be found short of the glory of God. And I dare to tell you, brothers and sisters, it is because of the ancient foundation of the faith. Always the promise of God. Always what the prophets spoke of, that all who believe in him must look forward to. Because that prince is by and large lost, not even spoken of. No remembrance of and no desire to remember among the churches. Quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, the whole world is about to soon be shocked to find out that the whole world is a believing pack of lies. Nothing like what the scriptures initially said. It might sound hard to say that, the truth is what it is. We're not all seek. The Holy Spirit seeks to bring all things to remembrance. Rebuking all skeptical people about it. How to rebuke all my brothers and sisters and skeptical people from discerning the initial foundation. Most High told me that every lie man believes keeps him from able to perceive the greater truth. How about a misconceived, a false concept of deity is given to you and you compelled to believe it? Are you compelled then to believe the truth? Or will you oftentimes be predisposed to despise the truth unless you're a very reasoning individual? Well, hey, Scripture says, come, let us reason together. And whether they are willing to reason or not, it will decide the fate of many souls. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, the remembrance of all things is the only hope of repentance. The remembrance of all things, my brothers and sisters, is the only opportunity to transcend all the lies and misconceptions, counterfeiters, the hypocrisies that men have established as political, social, and pseudo-religious institutionality since the dawn of human fall. The remembrance, my brothers and sisters, of all things the Most High declared from the beginning, the work from the beginning, is the only way to transcend all these sins, divisions, deceits, keep people from being perceived. The reality. And now comes repentance, my brothers and sisters, unless they are willing to remember all that the Most High declares as the initial foundation. And that is exactly why, to overthrow Babylon, the scriptures say in Isaiah 48, to the people who are sworn by the name, but not in truth nor in righteousness, not knowing they swear themselves over the devils, using the holy name, swear by his name in vain. Is the Most High vain? Is he a multiple contradictions, or is he one? To swear by his name is to swear and oppose all everything that he is. Bow yourself unto finding it. To seek anything less, brothers and sisters, that is vanity, because it only opposes a multitude of contradictions, a multitude of controversies, a multitude of contentions, my brothers and sisters, and warfare is arrogance and ignorance that defies the whole peace. How many understand, my brothers and sisters, that this world that maintains a multitude of illusions has been hide the illusions stay against men's awakened faith right down in front of everybody's eyes. And you see them drive down the street. And you see all these multitude of different churches. And everybody's out to, let's just say you got a whole lot of high speakers whose job it is to convince you concerning their way, but it's the whole way. It's the whole way of Yama, brothers and sisters. And it's not the only pure way in all things. And guess what? They've captured you in prison houses and stagnated your mind. And the scriptures say, woe to those who take counsel but not from him. And the end result of this is vanity, confusion, stagnation, that you sit still. And those who despise the greater instruction, it says in Isaiah 30, he said, this sin should be to them as the breaking of a wall, a high wall that comes suddenly at an instant, to be broken without pity, like the breaking of an unclean pot of vessel that is broken without pity, so there'll be no thing of it left to take water from the cistern. In other words, the Most High wants nothing of corruption. It must all be exposed, that the absolution of what is his righteousness be revealed. You got 45,000 folks declaring something different in denomination, crossing everybody really pretty much, quite frankly, according to some scriptures in Hosea, says according to the multitude of them, so have they lied against him. Then it has to happen, my brothers and sisters, that all these imprudent ways that men call wise, that mass self-righteous standards that men uphold, oftentimes not willing to seek the whole truth, all of them will have to be exposed in their treachery and or negligence, that men again discern how to worship Yah. When the scripture says, Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, they translated, whoever believes in him might not perish. How about, my brothers and sisters, whoever finally to agree in all things with him. Remember he said, think not that he comes to destroy the law of the prophets. Think, my brothers and sisters, that he said that he comes ultimately to refresh and bring to remembrance all things spoken by the holy prophets of the Most High since the world began. If you believe in him, my brothers and sisters, that should be your expectation. And when you find something in the scriptures that the world is not willing to speak of, you should count it a time precious, my brothers and sisters, because it offers you an opportunity to be made whole. The world does not offer. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Can we all agree or believe in him and not agree? Can we all agree with him and agree with every juxtaposed, counterfeit idea this world has endorsed? It's time to say, my brothers and sisters, that these 45,000 different denominations and nations do not aid, so often do not at all aid in ultimately overcoming the lies. Oh, some people say, yeah, but they, you know, different denominations, there are experiences to go through. Well, brothers and sisters, if they don't have the intention to teach you the whole truth, you better, if you go through them at all, you better go through them to finally exceed them. Messiah said it well. Your righteousness must exceed that of your leaders, else you won't enter the kingdom. Yeah, because quite frankly, when he comes, he's going to expose them for all the ways they've been treacherous, negligent. In fact, my brothers and sisters, for every way they're compelled to be people to be slothful, to remain under their authority and not ready to accept the greater authority of the Messiah himself. Or do you really believe that your pastors have already told you everything the Messiah will reveal? Better think again. It's time to say, my brothers and sisters, that multitude of pastors are declaring a multitude of different standards. Bewitch the people, that they don't know which is which. And the truth of the matter, a lot of them in a competitive field see the opportunity to become wealthy while they exploit the people in their ignorance, flattering them in their folly and ignorance. And because the people don't know it, they see it as an opportunity for an avocation to slander, my brothers and sisters, the souls of all. the opportunists, my brothers and sisters, that see you just simply as something to prey on. No love of the I in them. Because I could tell you about a whole lot of truth that's in the Bible that they've told behind closed doors, many of them. They know that they are true, but they won't tell you. They ask me questions like, how many folks you think going to get that? And that means that they're not going to try to help you. They've asked me questions like, how many folks you got to understand that? And then they say that until more people do understand, they can continue to do what they do. Meaning, again, my brothers and sisters, they're just personal opportunists. No matter how many people they murder by hiding the truth, many of you don't even have a clue as to what I'm talking about. No matter how many they murder by hiding the truth and compelling people to continue to believe lies because they lack the truth, drawing hasty conclusions. They act as if that's not their concern. Even when they go and pray over the bodies of those who they left ignorant for the entirety of their lives. And the scripture says, well, he who dies without the law, how about the law of the Most High, perishes with the law. Sign that you believe that I am he. In other words, you all believe his testimony beyond all these divisions in the world to say you hide in your sins. How about die enslaved to someone who will hide the truth from you? And that's why he said, if you're my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How about even know the truth your leaders won't tell? For such is the nature of why the Most High calls a prophet. To speak what others would not. That indeed, my brothers and sisters, the fountains of living waters, waters of life and truth, might flow freely, that many who can partake of them. And yes, my brothers and sisters, even as being vessels able to exude, be conduits through which life, wisdom, and truth might flow to others, they find the purpose in the earth. Like I say, you watch out for those who merely make claims. Messiah is going to judge everybody by the fullness of his word. And you need to know those secrets they would not tell, that in common they all have hid from, that you might discern who is real and who isn't. In fact, in so doing, my brothers and sisters, you might find out whether or not you've been for real. I'm just telling it like it is. Like I say, they claim to love. Many claim to love. But would they love the truth? They expose them? Has one been deceived by their lives? Most High told me there's a difference between a fool and a damn fool. Fool, my brothers and sisters, when he finds the truth, might change. But a damn fool, rather than be that he's been deceived or have it known that he's been deceived, he will continue to support the deceiver. That's a damn fool, my brothers and sisters, because men never convert. Do men join the church, my brothers and sisters, defend the faith, or aid in continual corruption of it? It's all decided, my brothers and sisters, by the nature of what he believes. Do men go to the church to find out what the Most High declares? Well, let me tell you something. The scripture says in the book of Jacob, they call it James, said if you're scattered among the Gentiles, how about scattered among a multitude of denominations, churches, and nations? All of them declare something different. And because of all these differences, you lack wisdom. Realize your faith has still to bring forth perfect and complete work. Is that so easily possible in whatever institution that you're in? If you're sent to an institution that won't, after the Spirit, seek to teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, to reproof of every lie, misconceit, every sin, every doctrine that is a sin to believe. If you're subject to any of these institutions, my brothers and sisters, you are still yet under sin. Because you haven't fully been willing to receive, or have not yet received, fully what is the grace of Yah, the grace of the Spirit that teaches all things, that teaches men to turn toward the truth and not turn back. So these men are going to have to ask questions. They join churches to defend the faith, to seek the truth, or to aid and abet the corruption of the faith. It's decided by how much you're willing to seek Him. If you find out the truth that transcends the institution, are you willing to transcend the institution? Or we continue to oppose it. Like I said, Isaiah 30, we're speaking about it before, says, if you oppose the lie, you have an opportunity to see the truth. There should come a breaking as a breaking of a pot of vessels that is broken without pity. The Most High has no desire for such a soul that will continue to believe a lie when the truth has been offered. That's an insult against the gift of the Spirit. And it's an insult, my brothers and sisters, against being, having had the favor bestowed upon you, mercy bestowed upon you, to be granted the opportunity to see the reality. Isaiah 41 through 42 relates that, quite frankly, it talks about all having been, in so many ways, falling short of the glory. Why? Because he said there was none who preached the gospel, none who preached the fullness of the word. And he said that will be discerned just before Messiah appears. There's a dimension of truth that men have not considered yet or have forgotten for a very long time. It will be discerned by whether or not men are willing to seek fully what is foundation from the beginning and what is to come that will decide whether or not men will be called those who are had it been granted his testimony at all. Some, my brothers and sisters, will be wise enough upon hearing the testimony to accept it quickly. They will be the ones that the Most High will uphold as his witnesses. None else. In fact, everyone else, my brothers and sisters, will not uphold that testimony will be counted among the children of Babylon, whose wicked testimony must be exposed, must be cast down, must be humiliated, must even be destroyed from the midst of the earth, that finally no one will be dissuaded by them. That is the judgment, my brothers and sisters. It's always been true that when men talk about, the scriptures talk about being watchful, that you be prepared to stand before the Son of Man. If the leaders are teaching a multitude of different doctrines, it means they're lying to you. To be able to stand before the Son of Man means you see God himself. What was I saying over in Yaakov? They say if you're scattered among the nations, how much about a multitude of different denominations? Remember that your faith must still bring forth a perfect work, pure and complete unto Yah, entirely beyond all distractions or provocative temptations, misinfluences. Your faith must bring forth a perfect work. And he said, what did he say to do that? He said, ask him. For the double-minded man, it's still unstable in all his ways, and believe me, someone who wants to compromise and believe that a whole bunch of different diverse doctrines are the faith of the Messiah who is one. Well, that is, in fact, double-mindedness. And it gains no faith in the Most High because it can never possibly truly believe him, nor ever truly unto him agree. It's time to stand up, brothers and sisters. It's time to consider these things. Scriptures tell us that for many generations, men have chosen not to. But I can tell you now, the time is late. If you know that the eventuality is that all the systems of the world are going to be found aligned in some way upon faulty foundations, then maybe you should ask him, what is it? What is it that needs to be captured again? What is it that needs to be restored again, the mind? As the scripture says, quite frankly, in so many ways, that the whole world can be found having ignored. So much so that the scriptures even say that when these things are revealed, they'll be said and said in this wise. Who was it that told you these things? Was it any of your idols? Did you stamp his name upon and call God? Any of the doctrines that men created? You say, who was it that told you? Was it not I, the Lord? Well, my brothers and sisters, Scripture speaks of Messiah coming forth, saying, listen to me, O isles, and hearken to me, O nations. From the birth of my mother, made mention of my name. And it does not talk about him coming forth in that manner from the skies. He reveals the testimony to raise the conscience of men. But my brothers and sisters, when it says from the body of my mother, they mention of my name in Isaiah 49, it's talking about someone who has called the name of the Most High from the birth. An elect and chosen ally of the Most High, that whoever believes to agree to learn from and agree with him, we have an opportunity to be delivered from all those who lie and presented and manifest counterfeits, established counterfeits, that they might not perish, because there will be an end to all those who have preached, and chosen to continually believe lies. And the scripture says 2/3 of humanity is going to perish because of the false prophets that they have believed. So the question, who is, my brothers and sisters, who is a genuine love of the truth, willing when they find the truth to uphold it? And if you know that what the truth is, shouldn't you be looking for what that foundation is that most have not told, and most not willing to see? Shouldn't you be looking for it with all your mind, heart, soul, and might, as a love for them and a love for those you claim to love? Or will it be found, brothers and sisters, that in the lack of diligence you were completely deceived, had no love of Yah at all, because all that you learned to love was ways of another? I can only say, brothers and sisters, most I have spoken, and most have never concerned themselves, or learned the fact, then have not learned to love Yah, because they haven't learned to love entirely what is a pure and perfect truth. Hey, somebody said, you can't handle the truth. Well, if you were told the whole truth, could you receive it? Most, my brothers and sisters, have only learned to love the heart of a devil, the misunderstanding wrought of deviation and deceit. But how many are willing to believe it? I say 45,000 denominations, just pick one, and Yeshua is teaching you everything you need to know. Is that being considerate of all things, my brothers and sisters, at all? And the Most High told me that the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. I mean, there's a lot that people just don't know. They should. There's a lot of people that the world has forgotten that they must remember. Some of the greatest wisdom is what people think they know, but they don't know. For what they think they know, not giving all things consideration, has not been wisdom at all. Whoever compromises after a multitude of diverse doctrines, my brothers and sisters, partial, immature precepts, solutions, imaginations after the heart of another, hasty conclusions that don't give all things consideration, is not a disciple of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, but a disciple of Babylon itself. You need to read Revelation 18 and realize what it called Mystery Babylon. It's the multitude of your churches. Well, I think it is in Isaiah 27. It says the man will have an atonement unto the Most High only when the multitude of these misrepresentations taught among the altars are no more. You need to think about it. Where do you think the false prophets are taught? They can claim to be whatever they claim to be over and over again. Doesn't mean they're true unto the Most High. A true prophet, my brothers and sisters, will not deny the words of the former prophets. And there's no way I could even begin to count the multitude of things that I've said right here on Blog Talk Radio, says working or relating a host for the purpose of this word. The number of things that I've spoken to a multitude of even a host here on Blog Talk, that someone would admit behind closed doors are true. Some are what not willing to accept at all. And run for cover quick. But I can put out verse by verse. Just one, two, three, point. It's just 70 verses. How many do you need? Just the Revelation saying and reinforcing the same idea, scenario, and vision. And a lot of them know that what I'm telling you is the truth. They just don't want you to know. That's not enough for truth, brothers and sisters. That's enough for lies. And many don't realize they've been taught to believe that's from the day they were born. And that's the reason why the scripture says you have to overcome the world. You believe in him, my brothers, to see beyond all the illusion, the comfort, the hypocrisies. You ask him to help you see beyond. If you're not willing to do that, you are really willing to accept discipline and instruction. And you don't care if the whole world has slandered the whole name. Every man is slandering his brother. Read Psalm 50 and understand. But realize the result of this, my brothers and sisters, is not the salvation. The scripture says, such as this will tear to pieces. Because you cared nothing about the oneness and the fullness of his covenant, but chose to break it according to your own desires. Just telling you the truth, my brothers and sisters. Think I'm kidding. Read Psalm 59. You check out that website of mine, hiddengospel.com, church and mutual expectation. Hiddengospel.com, go like secrecy. And ask the pastors when you really examine them deeply about why they haven't told you the things that are there. Things like, find things you'll find in an article called Four Early Centuries of Great Tribulation, Tribulation 70 to 365 AD. Article called Remember the Promise. Ask why your pastors haven't told you what's there. I tell you why. Because if you knew this truth and the congregation knew this truth, then the scripture says Messiah will have to return and the Most High himself to renew a covenant. I did not say to put it away, but to renew a covenant, because that's God, what a covenant is, anytime he's turned away from his truth, he says he will write, describe, and teach his law upon the minds and hearts, that you become his people. He did not say that you would find out how to become his people after all the diversities and contradictions of the nations. It's time to understand the real. The multitude of divisions men trust by law, my brothers, are the result of a fall, not the result of man having remained firm to confirm all the Most High from the beginning declared. And the scripture says, whoever will confirm the fullness of what the Most High declared is a curse. You need to understand that. That means not mean blessed because they lack knowledge. You die with the law. You die without the knowledge of what is justice. How shall it be proven that you will uphold justice? Counted as a blessing that you have an opportunity to be tried, tested, found true. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The multitude of divisions we see at the initial foundation, and there is only one. The scripture says, men be careful about what he chooses to build upon that foundation. Some never therefore ever see what the foundation is. And say, those who do this, Yah will destroy. So if you consider yourself wise after a multitude of faulty foundations established by this world, it says, consider yourself a fool, you might become wise. The apostle Shaul himself said, I know nothing of which I'm guilty. Of any reason, I might be right in this. He says, my judge, therefore, is ruler. Even Messiah will reveal the things that men have not discerned with a sufficient enough conscience to consider. And then let man know how to praise Yah, not being deceived by any other, not deceived by anyone who makes them foolish. And let me tell you now, the word foolish and fallen, false, deceptive, something that seems to be viable when it's not. All these words have the same vibration. It is evident that men who say they are faithful still yet trust in a multitude of pluralist pollutions. This is vanity. In fact, my brothers and sisters, devil worship in disguise. Yes, devil worship hidden right in front of false faces, and they know not. I can't even tell you, my brothers and sisters, how much Most High has made that plain to me. However, I remember one day that he made it starkly clear. I had just finished one day shopping in preparation for Shabbat. And I passed by a church that was going to have later evening services, and some folks were already joined together, pulling up into the parking lot. The services that were going to begin a half hour later. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I passed by that church, I driven right back, more than a few times before. But on that Shabbat coming in, maybe half an hour or so later, on that particular evening, driving the way home. When I got close to the church, I got ready to look over there because I saw these people pulling out, pulling up into the driveway or the parking lot, getting ready to go in. And the Most High caused my eyes to see what he saw when he looked at me. And instead of a church, my brothers and sisters, I was stunned. The whole front of the church had become this huge dragon. That red rug that they put out in front of the door, people to walk up, had become the devil's forked tongue. And when I saw it, I wanted to scream. I was across the street. In fact, it was a very large street. In fact, it was a street that had about maybe three lanes on that side, a center esplanade, and hey, I was perhaps in the far lane of the street, well across the corner, across the way from that the entrance of that church. And my windows rolled up. And when I was thinking in my mind was this, help, people, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you running out for? What's the deal? You know, you understand what I'm saying, people? And as I shouted, and message came clear what was going on, my ordinary eyes returned, and I understood. Yes, my brothers and sisters, these have been institutions that have devoured men, hidden in prison houses, never sought to fully open their eyes, brought them a pack of lies from the day they were born. These are institutions, my brothers and sisters. As scripture says, priests teach for hire. They rule according to their own means, according to their own authority and purpose, if you will, their own imaginations unto their own greedy advantage. I'm putting together a lot of scriptures here. Micah chapter, Jeremiah, Jeremiah 5th. Yeah, indeed. Yes, indeed. And the people love to have it so. Tell you what means, what would I do with this to an end? Well, isn't it obvious that he would have to put an end to all those who aspire to this commercialized religion? You have to expose, humiliate as ungodly all those who teach such lies, who teach such corrupt, ungodly doctrines. In fact, scripture says, destroy the temple, for do this. You will prove them treacherous, who have been treacherous against the fullness of what is his covenant. And by no means will he accept the offerings of those who offer likewise. And he exposed all those who sought to hide the iniquity, and righteousness uphold, forging a hole in their lives, hiding it under their priestly roots. You need to understand Revelation 16 about the one called the King of the East who exposes the foolishness of the wise. Who will indeed establish a righteous foundation upon a which a true temple unto the Most High to be laid, who will shepherd his people beyond all those who lie. They don't tell you, my brothers and sisters, who Messiah truly is and who he meant he is. They have all understood when he said he's a written offspring of David, the bright morning star. Oh, some people might identify a little bit with that scripture says he is a written offspring of David. But the bright morning star, well, you need to read Isaiah 11 chapter. It talks about that one who was the written offspring of David, or if you will, the son of Jesse, the promised son of Jesse. But the one called the morning star, you need to understand who it is that had that title. The title that was also called King of the East, Sunrise. Oh, they took away from you the true title by which the faith is called, Kurdishanya, which means that those who were Kurdishanya believed and trusted in the coming of the one called the King of the East who exposed all the rulers. Where the scripture says in Revelation 16, 12 to 21, he drives up the rivers. How about the boundaries of all the nations to set the people free? or that the rivers or the boundaries of the nations would begin to be exposed to prepare men for a greater king. He said, blessed they will keep their garments, they do not walk naked, and all see their shame. In other words, if a man is partial in his knowledge of the truth, would he be found fully clothed and fully ready to be before the Son of Man confirmed? Again, the Son of Man, according to what the people of old knew in the early church, they knew the Son of Man comes to expose every false teaching. And every false teacher, every false ruler, every false so-called religious ruler, leader, pastor, priest, rabbi out there. Do you think that you prepare then for the Son of Man? That Son of Man, according to the rule of those whom he will reprove? Absolutely not. You need something far more. I promise you do, my brothers and sisters. And for that reason, the things that I'm saying to you now that are very precious, but only for the most humble soul, are being spoken to you. You can ask the Most High just how precious they really are. You can check out that website of mine, my brothers and sisters. Find out who Messiah said he is. That one called an angel from the rising sun, the Son of Righteousness that arises, the Denka, the branch, one called Sunrise, King of the Medes. All these are titles. Yes, even that title that they put in your King James Version, Cyrus, because they didn't want you to understand about the Kurdi, the righteous one, the one who issues forth the light that a whole world has sought to obscure. Yes, my brothers and sisters, who brings forth the light that casts out all the darkness. The one for whom the ancient kingdom called Kurdistan was named. Why don't they tell you about that, my brothers and sisters? One who a second time regathers all his people as he did before from all the territories that the Most High gave him that he might call his people again back home. But this time, my brothers and sisters, he's going to call people from the four corners of the earth, or if you will, the four directions of the whole earth. Did Yeshua do that 2,000 years ago, the men returned to Jerusalem? Or was it that 2,000 years ago he prophesied that Jerusalem would be routed and his people scattered? Well, this time, my brothers and sisters, according to Isaiah 11, and 2 Thessalonians calls it latter-day prophecy, saying that he has to expose every lie that men return home from all those who have dissuaded them, returning again to the truth, that all the contentions among the people shall at last be no more. I offer a solution, my brothers and sisters. But where are the humble souls willing to accept it? Because I guarantee you that a lot of what I'm speaking about as a solution, you can find it written. Like I said, check out that website of mine, hiddengospel.com. You can get it also on hiddenisrael.com with a Y instead of an I. Look at that article, Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Find out about all these things that the pastors would not tell you that are the foundation of the faith and the ancient expectation, even the expectation of all the prophets, they wouldn't tell you. Because believe me, whatever it is they've hid these things from you, they will be sorely reprimanded. But I regret to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that those who are not willing to believe the truth and reason according to the truth, because they were lied to those who predisposed them otherwise, well, they have a punishment to face as well. And the scripture says, unless you're willing to seek the whole truth beyond these rulers, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. Unless you're willing to seek the whole truth beyond all these misrulers who hide the truth from you and pervert the truth, he says you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Because guess what? It wasn't through the Messiah or his spirit that you were subject to. Like I said, the Most High told me if I could believe all these contradictions were true to him, he said I couldn't be a disciple unto him. Why? In fact, matter, my brothers and sisters, your rulers aren't listening to him, or else they'd be able to tell you about the things that I'm speaking about right now. It's all scripturally written, my brothers and sisters. How many of them does it take to read, say, for instance, Isaiah 49 to catch on to the point? How many of them does it take to read Malachi 4 to catch on to the point? Or is it just that they've chosen not to because it's against their avocation? Like I say, I offer a solution. And the scriptures tell you in Isaiah 41 that the solution is to restore and return to the knowledge of the truth that was declared in absolution from the beginning. How else shall one be true to the full measure and stature of the Messiah but returning to the word that is from the beginning, eternal, that is the irrevocable promise? There is no other covenant. According to all that is written, that is foundation of truth, that the whole world is forgotten, according to all that word, shall the souls of every man be tested. I would suggest, my brothers and sisters, if you want to survive, that you seek those truths that the whole world has sought to hide and deny swiftly. Because unless you prove you have a diligent and a love to him for the, enough for the truth to seek these things, quite frankly, you'll be found guilty of transgressing what Messiah says, the first, chief, and utmost covenant of all, which is to love Yah with all your mind, heart, soul, and might. He is the truth, my brothers and sisters. And those who are not willing to accept these truths, the love of Yah and all the truth is in it. Like I said, I tell you about someone I know who knows that what he's doing is treacherous, but said it works for him. What do you mean? What do I mean by that? He says it causes people to think he's a good guy because the people don't know any better. Sounds so much like so many other treacherous pastors I know. Yes, and any pastors out there listening, understand that somebody sees you. A lot of people are going to find out a whole lot of doctrines they have. Be like a hungry man who dreams that he is eating, dreams he is drinking. When he wakes, he finds he's hungry and famished. Why? Because there was no nourishment in the words they received. They just puff people up in their own vanities. Motivational speakers. But did they motivate them to speak for the Most High says must be restored? Hey, God went forth to restore word to the world that had forgotten. Have men been willing to uphold that fully? The foundation of faith that the whole world has ignored is the expectation of the promised righteous one, my brothers and sisters, who comes to prove foolish the whole world of lies and neglect and treachery and partiality and pollutions, that men might come to the will of one. For none of the idolatries that men have schemed and proposed, sworn the holy name upon, forged the holy name upon, would be called wise. None of them would be called acceptable unto salvation. No man makes for himself a savior, nor does any man make himself one. It's a matter of having the heart and diligence to the Most High and being faithful in obedience to his call and what he did. That covenant promise decree from the beginning is the only hope. A few seconds left, my brothers and sisters, to the Most High, to his praise always, thanking him always for his righteousness. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening. Time to receive.
You've got the words to change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You spent a lifetime stuck in silence.